Last week, I spoke about sufficient grace and talked about where God, where Paul's understanding of grace. So to keep me from coming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And we looked at three things here. The first one is that God's grace is sufficient. You don't need anything else. You don't need much more. You just need God's grace. And it's something that we don't understand, but it works like that. God's grace is sufficient. We want the miracles. We want the power, and that's right. But God's grace is sufficient. The second thing that we looked at last week was that God's grace strengthens. And I just used an example of a colleague of ours whose son has had a kidney cancer. And so the boy is 4 years old, so they had to remove the kidney. And every week now the boy had to go for chemo, and it really makes him sick. Now he's a pastor of a church, but I'll tell you the way that man blossoms. It's amazing how the man blossoms. And I told Elmery the other day, the only way that I can understand that is grace. It's only grace that can strengthen you if you go through so much pain. And then the last one that I talked about is that God's grace transforms. In other words, when you go through painful and struggling situations like the Apostle Paul, then God's grace will transform you. It will change you. A simple example, if you've given your life to the Lord, just look back and how where you were and where you're now. How you were and how you're now. What you did and what you don't do anymore. Your experience of life and how your experience of life is now. God's grace transforms you. It's a miracle. We can't explain it, but that's how God's grace works. So this evening, I really want us to just look at celebrating the sufficiency of God's grace. James chapter 4 verse 6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble. God imparts grace into our lives during victory and deliverance. So we must learn to receive it. If you can just flight those two points. Did you flight the scripture? Did you find it? It's James chapter 4, verse 6. There's two. You didn't go to the top, eh? It's from, what's the next scripture? Let me just check there what the next scripture is. Okay. And then just go to the next one, and then the next one, and then go. Those 3 points here, God strengthens, it transforms, and then the next scripture, celebrating the sufficiency, there is it. But he gives grace, more grace. And then the following points. What we learn out of that, God imparts grace through our victories. It's really important that you do understand this. Whenever you go through life's tough situations and God comes through for you, we talk of the breakthrough. The breakthrough isn't as important as the grace that you received to keep on going. The grace that you've received to keep on going is much more important than the breakthrough. You must always remember that. So it means when you go through the tough situation and God gives you the breakthrough, he gives you the deliverance, he's putting something of himself inside of you. He's imparting grace. It's a very powerful thing. And then you must learn to receive it. Now, on the 11th of December, I want you to be here. Me and my wife, we're working together on a sermon called Memorial Stones. And this year has been a particularly good year for us in terms of what God has been placing inside of us. So on that service, it's a morning service, it's also baby dedication. I'm just going to talk about why is it important to understand this principle and why is it important to build memorial stones in your life. Like Abraham and all those guys did. Because they understood God's grace and what God gave to them. But for now, all I want you to know, the grace that you receive to go through a situation, it's much better than anything else. Then Acts chapter 3 verse 43 says, and after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace. So we must continue in grace, and that does mean that we must learn to have a thankful heart. It just means that you need to say thank you about what God brought you through. You can go through what hell, God will never drop you. So even if you go through hell, and even if you think that all things are impossible, God's grace is there for you. So you must continue in that grace. The reason, I'm just going to say this very quickly, the reason why so many people can't experience God's grace, because they've never learned to say thank you for what God has done already. So you must learn to say thank you to God, to continue in His grace. Have a thankful heart. Remind yourselves. You know, there's so many times when I feel like hell. I don't want to be with people. It feels sometimes that I'm in a pit. And sometimes it's just really difficult. Life happens like that. Then I must remind myself. That is why Abraham and those guys built those memorial stones. They went back to it to look here, this is what God has done for me. You know what? A great speaker once said that we don't need more. We need to remind ourselves of the more that we already received more. We don't need more. We just need to remind ourselves about what God has already done in our lives. Are you with me? Because it helps us so much. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3 to 18. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and the day of eternity. That scripture teaches us we must grow in the knowledge of God and we must grow in our grace. It's a never-ending story with God's grace. Look, on earth we'll never be able to figure out God. And I think in heaven we'll know a lot of God, but we won't know everything. That is why we have eternity. Now, do you know how long eternity is? We have an eternity to talk to Him and to figure Him out. That is how big God is. Now, you say now you figure out, okay, now, Carlos, say 5 billion people go to heaven. Okay, let's say 5 billion people go to heaven. And each and every one of us asks Him a unique question. Will we have then figured Him out? No. There's just so much of His grace that we won't know. We will have in eternity to talk with Him and to worship Him and to say thank you. But God is really big, guys. And I can tell you, His heart yearns for you. There's enough space in His heart and in His mind. God, do you know that God has emotions? Read the scriptures. God has emotions. And so God weeps like Jesus. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Some people think God can't cry. God cries. He weeps. He's not the old man with a stick that wants to grind you. He wants to grace you with His presence. And so we must grow in that knowledge of Him. The times that I've grown with God in leaps and bounds is the times when I went through difficulties. Then you learn to know God. I can remember one day as I was praying in our bedroom and I really fell down. It was a really painful situation. God is just reminding me of it. But I just had the feeling that He was sitting there and just looking at me. And the word that I just felt God spoke in my heart, He just said, it's going to be okay. Now, you know how is it with us. We don't want to hear it's going to be okay. We want to have the solution. God just says that's going to be okay. And immediately then you learn something about God. You learn about His ever-present presence, His omniscience, always surrounding you, always close by, always ready to listen. And you become so aware of His Father heart and the fact that He just want to hug you. And He just want to tell you, look, it's okay. If I say it's going to be okay, it's okay. You can trust me. That is God's heart. That is His grace. And as you grow in that, as Peter says, but grow in grace and the knowledge. Now, you can't grow in God's grace if you don't grow in your knowledge of Him. You must grow in the knowledge of God. Read the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Like Jesus, we must demonstrate that grace towards people. Jesus demonstrated it. I still can't figure this out, the fact that he has everything in heaven, but he stepped down. He became hungry, he was tempted, everything. I still can't figure it out, but he did it. Now, in my mind, I can't figure it out. I think the day when I'll really know when to figure it out is when I go to heaven to see what he gave up. Or I must ask him now, God, show me how heaven looks. And then I must look at heaven, and then I must look at earth, and then I must just make the transition for myself. Wow, you gave all that up for me, and you demonstrated the way you feel about me by coming down, his Christ, sending his son. You know, I can't fathom it, you know. I'm going very quickly because the worship did already so much. Psalms 25 verse 16, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. And then Hebrews says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace. David and the writer of Hebrews, do you know what they're talking about there? They're actually talking about prayer. David says, look here, I'm lonely. Now, all of us, we feel lonely at one or another time. And all of us, we feel afflicted at one or another time. But David says, God, please turn to me so that I can see your grace. Hebrews, you know, the confidence, the throne of grace. In other words, that place of prayer, that place where you go to God and you pray with him. So the last principle, and I'm going to end over this, that I want to pray for God's grace. Pray that he will reveal it to you. Draw near to God with confidence. The best way that I can explain confidence to you, when I go to my mom's house and she makes tea for me, or I make tea for myself, I don't ask her if I can have sugar. I take sugar. I don't knock on the fridge door. Mommy, can I look in? I open the fridge and I look and I take out of the fridge. You know? Because I have a confidence. I trust them that they will reward me. I believe in the fact that they will give to me. I can ask them anything now with that same confidence. Not casualness. Not pride or arrogance. With that same confidence, you can go to God and ask God to reveal his grace to you. That's all that I want to say this evening. There's much that I can say. But I really want you, in your confidence, access God's grace. Can I say something that I've said to the team before we started? Desiree, my dear, you'll never be good enough, but you are good enough. I've told the team, you know, if you're going to start figuring out, God, when are things going to be right with me to be okay with you, it's never going to be okay. But you are okay. It went down like this. This is only my fourth time that I've been playing, my third time that I've been playing with a band. God has been challenging me this year to play drums. The last time that I played drums was in standard 5. It was just a practice session in my uncle's band. And he heard that I could play, so he said, play, let me listen. And after that, never again. And then last year, for the first time, I just jammed with the Be Skillful team. And then this year, I just felt God challenging me, look at your drum, I'll fast track you. I'll teach you everything. So everything that I've done here this evening, I've learned in 3 sessions. Honestly. It's just God fast-tracking me. Now, I can't explain it, but God's doing it with me. But now, while I'm doing this, there's this niggle in my spirit. Is what I'm doing okay for God? Is what I'm doing satisfactory to Him? So God says to me, I always got the feeling that He called me, come here. I want to talk to you. And as I stood, He just said, look here. What you're doing, I like. But you don't have the confidence in me to know that I like it. You'll never be perfect. Whatever you give to me comes from your best. But you know what? It's good enough for me. You can give it to me. I'll take it. I'll receive it. You're not casual. You're not like Cain. I know your heart. I see your heart. I know how you really want to give your best to me. And then God said, now enjoy what you're doing. Do you know how difficult it is to sit there and not enjoy yourself and think you'll be a blessing to people? You know how when you sit here, you think I'm not a blessing to anybody? That mindset needs to change. Why? Because of God's grace. He has graced you with just so much. And so whatever you have, I want you to bring it to the table with confidence. I want you to pray about it. I want you to talk to God about it. I want you to be passionate about what God has placed in your heart, because there's so much. I'm learning so much now about the way God just looks at all of us. And the glory that He really wants us to have, and the glory that we did have with Adam. You know, where we named the animals. And Scripture says that God walked in the cool of the garden. How we walked with God in the cool of the garden. Before we're expelled. Just walking with Him, talking with Him. And our Scripture says that we can say with Abram that I'm a friend of God. You may not think that you're good enough. God thinks you're good enough. You may not believe in yourself. God believes in you. You may not think you're worth it. He'll keep on challenging you to do more. Carlos, how do you know it? Why would anybody send his son to die naked on a cross for everybody? Because he so believes in us. And with that confidence, I can tell you now, you can go through hell and through pain, but God's grace will always be sufficient. And try figure it out, you can't. It's something that you need to settle within your heart. And you need to hear it from God, because God will settle it for you. But the day when victory comes, remember that He gave you the grace to get there. The victory is only the cherry on the cake. And so I want you to start making memorial stones. Start thinking back this year where you started and where you are now. And just start saying thank you. And then with that, just realize that what you struggled with 2 years ago, just think, just do me the favor as you sit there. Just think, what did you struggle with 2 years ago? Just think, just stay in your own mind. Think what you're struggling with now, then compare the two. The things that you struggled with 2 years ago, it suddenly looks like pudding, eh? Oh, that's pudding, man. What I'm going through now, yes, sir, this is a serious thing. Now, a year from now, you're going to sit and again you're going to think, no, man, eh, yes, that's pudding, man. The thing that is challenging me now, this is serious stuff. That's how grace works. It may feel to you now that it's the end of the world, but it's not. And if you are Christ's child, and if it is the end of the world for you, go to your daddy. enjoy Him forever. Because with Him you'll never lose. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, death, where's your sting? Sin, where's your power? It's gone. And for some of us, we must fight that one, the fear of death. I just want to comfort you and say, death, where's your sting? Sin, where's your power? It's gone. Our God has already won. That's what makes that song so powerful for me. Father, I pray for your people. You have such a heart for them. They're your saints. They're your sheep. God, each and every one of us, we have our stories. Our stories that breaks hearts. We have our sad memories. We have bad things that happen to us. But today we stand here by grace. And by grace alone. Your grace saved us. Your grace raised us. Your grace guided us. Your grace sufficient. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sensing that these people, you really go through a lot now, but I just want to, I'm going to say it now, it's okay. But I want you to go hear it from God. I can't, I know you won't believe me. You just think, oh, he's a pastor, he's paid to say that. You know, that's how God's grace works. Just step into it. I really want to challenge you, if you hear this evening and you've never met that grace of God, we would really like to pray with you. I'm not going to do an altar call this evening. But I just think in this sacred, it's a real sacred moment for me. It's a real special moment for me with real special people. And except any jam or miller back anywhere. Because I'll be nowhere else than church. I just love it in God's presence. Singing with God's people, worshiping with them. It's so awesome. I get healed. I get rid of so much here. I just appreciate the smiles and the hugs and the winks with the eye and the high. It's just all for me so much part of God's grace. And that's why I love working with God's people. It's a blessing to me. So what we are going to do now, we're going to keep on worshiping David. And if you have to leave, you can leave. I think we're going to skip coffee tonight. If you want coffee, make yourself a cup. Very quietly. But I think you can, do you sense God's presence here? There's a beautiful, calming presence. Some of you have never felt as calm as this, quite for such a long time. You've been on the run and your mind has been doing sums. And it's the first time this year that you're actually just, wow. And some of you are sitting there and you're thinking, wow, I'm actually okay, huh? I do run around like a headless chicken, but I'm still okay. And some of you, you're going through all hell, but now you can't figure this out. I'm going through hell, but what I'm experiencing now, it doesn't match up. I don't have a job, I don't have a this, I don't have a that, but what I'm feeling here is so cool. Now that's how grace works. I can't figure it out, but I'll accept it. It's God's grace. So bring everything. Everything you sing to Him, but with confidence. And then if you have to, if I haven't seen you this evening, we're still going to worship. I'm going to be behind the drums. Bye-bye. If I don't see you, they have to slip out there at the back. Bye-bye. See you. Take care. If you're still going to be here, just worship with us. Again, the band coming and we're going to worship.